You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Heat Nation. I'm David Ramil, a credentialed reporter and the host of Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Please make sure to subscribe to the show if you haven't already, wherever you listen to podcasts to get the latest episodes. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get 20% off your next order. I'm kicking off this episode the same way I did the last one, by wishing all of you listening to the show a Happy New Year. It's been a great year for the show, putting up the best numbers in its history, even as I took over as a full-time solo host, and perhaps, not coincidentally, the Heat went on a deep playoff run and are a great team that is easy to enjoy. But none of it would be possible without each and every one of you supporting the show at some point, listening daily, sending in questions, interacting with me via Twitter, following along on everything that we do here. And I am so grateful and thankful for each and every one of you. But the new year also means the invoking of New Year's resolutions. And today's episode will be all about that, with various media members that cover the team providing me with their Miami Heat-related resolutions, from trades, rotation changes, and everything in between. It's going to be a great episode and a great way to kick off the new year, because that beat down to the Dallas Mavericks never actually happened, although feel free to download my recap of the game that never actually happened. Now, it's been a while since I talked about resolutions here on the show, but years ago, when I was joined by my former co-host Wes Goldberg, I gave a historical overview of resolutions that I find super interesting, and I'm going to share it again. The origins of resolutions actually began about 4,000 years ago with the ancient Babylonians. Before the implementation of the Roman calendar that we still adhere to today, they actually made promises to their respective gods around mid-March, around the beginning of spring, that followed the growth of their annual crop cycle. Like many pagan rituals, they followed more natural ways of doing things. And so when the winter ended and spring was beginning, they got on their knees and prayed and begged for good crops, because that was a matter of life and death for them. They celebrated with a two-week festival named Akitu, and part of that would include those promises to do better, to return borrowed items, to pay back debts, just be a good person. If you made right and followed through, you'd be favored by the gods. If not, you got screwed royally. The ancient Romans did something similar in honor of the god Janus, the two-faced god for which January is actually named. The two faces of Janus were supposed to represent one looking back, reflecting on the mistakes of the past, and the other face looking forward on what you can do to be better. Promises were made, some sacrifices were offered, just a really good time to be had by all. Medieval knights used the beginning of the year to renew the vow of the peacock, to reaffirm their commitment to the code of chivalry, to uphold the values of fair play, honor, nobility, and then they ate an actual damn roasted peacock to seal the deal. If you live somewhere in Coconut Grove, Coral Gables, or Pinecrest, where the noisy birds crap on your driveway all the time, the eating of the peacock probably sounds like a good idea. For me, not one that I'm going to indulge in anytime soon, but, that's why you were the code of knights. That's why you had to uphold that chivalrous code. It wasn't for everybody, just like Heat culture. The Christians sank their greedy little hooks into the pagan practice and took it for their own in the mid-1700s, using New Year's to issue a covenant renewal vow, making resolutions to be more pious and better people. But while there are certainly religious aspects in its background, resolutions are ultimately about self-improvement. Research shows that around half of all Americans actually make a resolution of some kind. The bad news is that it's about 8% that are actually successful with their resolutions. So if you're trying to give up smoking, lose 20 pounds, just be an overall better person, chances are you might not succeed. But you know what? Go ahead and try anyway. The bottom line is that being good and dedicated is hard. Ask the Miami Heat. They're known for being the hardest working team in the NBA, and they've come to embrace that the Heat way isn't for everybody. As for our resolutions for the team, sometimes we'd like the Heat to make changes they might not see as necessary. And so I'll start off with this first resolution. Somewhat of a recurring theme among many of the media members I talk to, it comes first from Giancarlo Navas, the host and co-founder of the Miami Heat Beat podcast, who writes, "The Miami Heat need to fill the void at the four. Their biggest obstacle to getting back to the finals is finding a functional wing who can guard up to and defend bigger and faster fours." Now, this was, as I mentioned, a recurring theme, something that I wasn't anticipating. The debate about this season was so much geared towards or revolving around Tyler Hero and whether or not he's a point guard. and whether or not he could handle the responsibility of starting, who's going to slot in. And then you kind of just thought that the power forward by committee approach would work out because it's Eric Spoelstra, and you kind of tend to trust what he can do. Unfortunately, I haven't really found somebody who can fit in there and hold the position down with any kind of sort of efficiency. So it's been, like I said, a power forward rotation by committee. We've seen Mo Harkless. We've seen Precious Achiuwa provide some energy off the bench. I still think Andre Iguodala is your best short-term solution. Maybe not. I know that a lot of Heat fans want to see Casey Okpala get a crack at it, and that makes sense on levels. But for the Heat organization, for Eric Spoelstra in particular, KZ just doesn't have what it takes as of yet. Now, Giancarlo suggests a couple other options there. One that I'm going to be talking about quite a bit during the rest of the show, but Thad Young was a name I hadn't really considered. He makes a lot of sense. I think he's a guy who has been somewhat underrated, and it's just a solid role player. He's never going to be a star, never was a star. He's already in his, 11th season in the NBA now? Maybe 12th at this point, honestly. It's been a long career for him where he's just kind of fit in as a guy on those 76ers rosters that weren't quite good enough, playing alongside Drew Holiday. I think when Drew was first an all-star somewhere around there, he was a nice fit there, a guy who has probably benefited from small ball because now he's not necessarily a tweener. He can play the five, he can play the four. He can guard threes to some extent. Thad Young, if you ever aren't aware, is a 6'8 forward, 235 pounds, solidly built. Good size. That's the kind of size I think that Navas is talking about here, is that you want a guy who can fit in and play alongside Bam to be able to switch him up, to be able to make shots on occasion. He's not a great three-point shooter, a career 33% shooter. He's currently shooting 25% on limited shot opportunities this season. Hasn't had a great season. He's not perhaps the best option. Another guy that I think is prevalent in Heat minds is probably your better fit as far as being able to stretch the floor. But that to me has really stood out is how much we needed a Jay Crowder. Because maybe part of what's worked so well for Miami over the last season was their transition in the Orlando bubble to becoming a really dangerous fun team where they can guard 1 through 5, where they can do so many different things, where there's that switchability on defense. It worked really well for most of the regular season last year when they had Myers Leonard starting, when they had Kendrick Nunn in there, catching people by surprise. I think that was a big part of it. We kind of tend to overlook, based on their success in the Orlando bubble and the feelings of insulting nature or maybe some kind of jab being included in there when people said it was a fluke. But we have to remember that even when they added Jimmy last offseason, which feels like an eternity ago, nobody really thought this was going to be a title-contending team. I know I sure as hell didn't. I don't think most fans did. I think a lot of people saw maybe top four at best. Bottom four was probably the more general consensus. I know some people who wanted to be critical of Butler and the Heat organization in general said they're barely even a playoff team. I would not have gone that far. I think they had a legitimate chance to be a 47-48 win team that could compete for one of the top four seeds in the Eastern Conference. Did work out that way, obviously. I mean, although they finished fifth, technically, they were one of the four best teams and ultimately the best team in the Eastern Conference. They started off really, really hot. They got a nice boost from Tyler Hero. Kendrick Nunn caught everybody by surprise. Bam took a huge leap in his development as a starter. Jimmy wound up playing well, got everybody going. Duncan Robinson was starting to pick up the pace as far as being a historically good shooter. None of those things were on scouting reports in October and November of last year. Nobody knew what to expect from this team. I brought it up before. I'll say it again. When I talked to Alvin Gentry doing a piece for Bam Adebayo, what he wanted to talk about was Kendrick Nunn. Nobody even saw what Bam was doing that early in the season. And then slowly but surely, yes, everybody started to kind of catch wind around the league saying, you know what? This guy's really, really damn good. And I think by the time we saw this team mature and become a little bit more stable, and yes, there were some injury issues in February and stuff like that, but I think everybody kind of realized what this team was. And if not for the trade acquisition of Jay Crowder and Andre Iguodala, maybe this team doesn't have the success it does in the Orlando bubble. I think that's fair because, Jay in particular helped this team unlock a version of itself that hadn't existed prior to that. And so now you're kind of stuck here where everybody knows what the scouting report is. Duncan's going to shoot, and you're going to contest him as much as you can. You're going to try to make things difficult for him. Bam isn't quite aggressive yet as far as looking for his shot. Jimmy's been hurt. Tyler's had some issues. So there's been some factors there as far as why Miami isn't as great. But I think overall, you're trying to play the same way you did in the Orlando bubble, and it's not necessarily working. And so you definitely need somebody to be able to fill that void the way Jay did so effectively last season during the Orlando bubble. Thad Young is a nice option. I don't know that he's a perfect fit. I think he's a nice name. Now, his contract's not great. It is. He just signed a three-year deal, but I think, you know, it's manageable money. And given that next year's free agency options aren't so great and that you'd probably have to swing a trade maybe for a Kelly Olynyk or something like that, then maybe it makes a lot of sense. He's set to make $13.5 million this year, $14.1 million, almost $14.2 next season. So not ideal. It certainly eats into some of that cap space that you might not need anymore because, of course, so many players have signed extensions or don't seem like they're going to be likely to move anytime soon. Maybe Kawhi is still part of the dream. Maybe you're still trying to make a push for another wing defender, and a guy like Kawhi certainly helps. He could switch up to the four on occasion, but I think there's a lot that comes with a player like Kawhi. I don't know. I mean, it's tough because even as I've talked myself into thinking about James Harden as a potential option for the Heat, Kawhi seems like he makes a lot of sense because he's a great defender and everything else. But you start to hear a lot more among NBA circles about the problem of Kawhi and his ego and his, you know, some of the situations going on his way forcing himself out of San Antonio and then not signing with Toronto and what's gone on with the Clippers. Maybe he's not the best fit. I don't know. You'd never really question Harden's on-floor productivity, although some people have in the playoffs. Yeah, I don't know. That's a whole conversation I'm not sure I want to get into right now because ultimately you do need a four. You need another switchable wing defender, and right now that player probably doesn't – well, I don't think he's on the roster. Maybe it's Okpala. Maybe it's somebody else, but maybe it's Precious Achiuwa. But I don't know if you want to trust him this early in the season. They might get exposed a little bit, and right now Okpala isn't getting any playing time whatsoever. So a trade seems like a likely option. We'll see if Thad Young or some of these other names that are floating around out there might be a better fit for Miami as far as making a push for the playoffs. Rowan Nadkarni, Dan Healy of Miami Heat UK, and many more give me their resolutions for trades and improvements the Heat can make coming up next. But first, if you're looking to make a little money in 2021, and who isn't, then let me recommend the only place that has you covered and the only place that we trust as a network, betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. With the NBA season kicking off, NFL playoff games right around the corner, and so much to look forward to, now is the best time to start betting online. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action, and don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. Betting on the NBA doesn't have to be a guessing game. If you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast, experts give you their daily picks and quick-hitting advice to make the smartest possible wagers. Subscribe to Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get podcasts. So Rowan Nadkarni of Sports Illustrated sends in a resolution. I asked him to send something, and to Rowan's credit, stepped right up, busy schedule, quickly responded. His first words, get PJ Tucker. Now, that was the other name that Giancarlo from Miami Heat Beat had sent me as far as a potential fit with his team. It just seems like it makes a lot of sense. Everybody's been talking about James Harden, obviously, because he's a potent scorer, because he's a guy that you think is pushing his way out of the Houston Rockets organization. But PJ Tucker bristling a little bit with the changes there to the regime, and also because his contract situation has not been resolved. He's a guy who's only making $8 million, actually a little bit less than that this season. He is a free agent at the end of this year. There were talks about a contract extension, about negotiations for a new deal. Hasn't played out. He's not happy about it. So while he has not said anything regarding wanting out of the Houston Rockets organization, he may not be happy. And if that's the case, then yeah, he'd be a great fit in Miami. A guy who's a little bit older, 35, a proven commodity, you know, has an interesting incredible journey to get to this point where he was playing overseas, where he was playing in the G League, where nobody really, you know, thought that he was one of those tweeners that just couldn't seem to catch a break, a little undersized, but so determined, so dogged, and built solidly, obviously. Now, generously listed at about 6'6", but he can guard, I think, twos, threes, fours, even fives. He was your small ball center in Houston last year, so that would be the kind of player that I think you're looking for here. And he wouldn't be asked to do this so regularly. He's not going to be punished the same way that he was in Houston, where he was having to guard Anthony Davis, during the Rockets-Lakers playoff series. Now, yes, he would switch on to AD on occasion here, but I think overall you're still going to see Bam being able to slide up to the five. You have other options on the roster too. And since he's so much cheaper, it makes a lot of sense to try and pry him out of there. Now, I'm not sure what they would want in exchange for a Tucker. They do have Christian Wood there. They also signed DeMarcus Cousins. It seems like they're rebuilding around that current core there, and I don't think Tucker seems like a likely fit as far as, you know, the future of that organization there. And if that's the case, then maybe they're willing to move on. Maybe it won't take as much as you might think. Again, I have not heard anything about it. He started all four games that he's played in this season, so he's still getting some minutes, about 34 per game. You know, maybe they want to build around him. Maybe he gets along well with Harden, and they see that duo being part of this team long term. You know, they've got John Wall there who's playing well. They've got Christian Wood who's playing really, really well. They've got Daniel House. You know, they've got some interesting players there. They've got a much better roster that I think that a lot of people expect him to be. And given the Harden situation, maybe that resolves itself. Maybe it's no longer the problem that many people thought it would be. But overall, I see what Rowan is going for here. You know, he says, get a four. And that, again, was a recurring theme for everybody. But when I mentioned to him, look, Giancarlo Navas already sent in the PJ Tucker suggestion. Do you have anything else? Rowan, again, stepping up. He writes back right away, make sure Udonis Haslem starts at least one game. Now that's beautiful right there. That's the kind of resolution that only a true Heat lifer like Rohan knows. This is a guy who's had in-depth profiles with Dwayne Wade, with Jimmy Butler. You know, he's talked to everybody in this organization. It's been so great seeing his career take off as one of the best writers in the business. And for him to say, you know what? Just give UD a shot there, because I do think this is Udonis' last season with Miami. I don't know. Maybe the last year was a little weird one with the bubble and everything else, and maybe it just kind of left him wanting one more season. I'm not sure. I don't think anybody has any kind of insight into what it takes for Udonis to be able to suit up here. The discussion about Haslem has been such an interesting one, because when he did announce that he was coming back for one more year, immediately Heat Twitter just set itself on fire. There was half saying, yes, thank goodness, bring back UD, the captain, the OG, etc. And the other half saying, oh, why is he taking up a roster spot? Why? He's so old, he doesn't even play. What's the point, etc. And I think he could play. I think, let's start off with that. I don't think he is so out of shape or so old or so broken down that he can't play. And that's often the case here, you know, when it comes to NBA players. And I've done a lot of research about this regarding aging in the NBA. It's not that they can't play. It's that you don't have, as an organization, any real reason to play them anymore. You don't think that Vince Carter could play? Like, he chose to retire, but he wasn't getting a lot of minutes last year in Atlanta. I think he could still have been a player there. I think he could still have played for any team that wants a player like that around the NBA. I'm glad he didn't sign in Miami, but that's a whole other conversation. As far as UD is concerned, he can play. He can still knock down an 18-footer. He can still guard three, fours, and fives. I mean, maybe he's a little slower, no doubt about it. But I think he can still play enough to warrant some minutes. So that's one end of the conversation. There's also the fact that as a presence in that locker room, everybody respects him. Everybody wanted him back to a man. I think he's helped with keeping a stable perspective to help keep your focus on what matters and to stay sharp. Look, if you're going to say the Heat was a fluky organization, part of it was because they were so locked in on winning and the goal for this team and this franchise. And part of that also came from Jimmy Butler, their leader. But Udonis Haslem, a spiritual leader, if nothing else, a guy who has really helped keep that focus, keep the main thing, as Pat Riley likes to say. And I think he does have some value here. Now, I have gotten some more perspective, most notably from Jack Alfonso, who does send in a resolution I'll talk about a little bit later. But Jack mentioned to me, look, my only problem with UD signing isn't one about his age or his functionality as a player, but rather that, you know, so much of what Heat fans love, and I'm paraphrasing completely here, but like fans and NBA fans in general want to see a player get his opportunity. You look at a guy like Chris Silva or even an Okpala, second round pick, or somebody along those lines, a PJ Tucker. There's hundreds of them out there. And so rarely do they get an opportunity because there are so few roster spots available to them. 30 teams, 17 roster spots right now. You're going to fill it up with an accomplished veteran or a guy that is a much more known quantity. You're not necessarily going to take a chance on a guy from a small Division II, Division III school, you know, a guy who might be toiling away in Europe. Look at Christian Wood, you know, from the Houston Rockets. He was a guy who was struggling in China. He wasn't good enough to make a team in China. And then he finally joins a team here, shows out, gets waived, finds another team, gets waived, and then starts to ball out in Detroit and gets paid a lot of money, and he's looked really, really solid. And I think a lot of those opportunities are available, but those are the opportunities that fans love to see for a guy to be able to come up, get paid, and earn those minutes in that contract. And for Udonis, taking up a roster spot limits that opportunity for somebody else. And we don't know who that is. Maybe it's a Chris Silva. Maybe it's a Max Strus. Maybe it's somebody else. You know, there was that one player that they brought in, Paul Ibua, who looks like an NBA player but might be struggling. Maybe he fits in with his team so well that, you know, he improves over the course of the regular season. Maybe he's your long-term starter as a power forward, potentially. But we'll never know because he was waived. And why? Because, well, to some point, to some level, because Udonis already has that roster spot. So that's a whole conversation. But from Rohan's perspective, like UD, he means so much to this organization. He's likely done. I just don't think he can continue to play at a high level. And if that's the case, let's give him a start. One start. What's it matter? Like, get him a start out there. It's a nice gesture. It's never going to happen. I'll say that. Eric Spoelstra is not one for those kind of emotional things. And, look, it didn't seem like he was going to come back after the bubble last year, and yet Spo didn't start him. So even if UD announced his retirement tour midway through the season, and he's never going to do that. He told me he's never going to do a retirement last dance type tour like Dwayne. He doesn't want that attention. He doesn't care. He'll retire. He'll walk away from the game, and you'll hear from him when you hear from him. As far as, you know, whether or not Spo thinks he's going to give him that start, I would not expect it anytime soon. So I understand Rowan's perspective. I also don't think that we're going to see a start from UD anytime soon unless there's some major calamity in the Heat's front court. But as far as Jack Alfonso, like I mentioned before, the Miami Heat beat writer suggests, I'd say figure out the front court rotation. That is his New Year's resolution. Figure out the front court rotation. There's a bit of a crowd with Precious Achiuwa, KZ Okpala, Myers Leonard, Mo Harkless, and Kelly Olynyk. They may need to make a move in the new year. Now, again, the front court seems to be an issue. A move certainly seems warranted. That makes a lot of sense. I don't want to talk about the front court almost completely. And so I asked Jack to send something else a little bit differently. And regarding the backcourt, he says, rest and relaxation for Goran and Avery Bradley. Find a way to save them for the playoffs. Now, that's an interesting one. And he also adds they're leaning on too heavily on both of them early on. And it's a good point. Bradley a little older. Goran obviously a little older. I think with Bradley, he just provides such a boost defensively that you're not getting from any of your guards, because Nunn, Dragic, Hero, Robinson, all of them are subpar defenders. Robinson probably the best of that group. You would think with Nunn and his athleticism that he'd be a little bit more functional as a defender, but we just haven't seen it translate in any kind of meaningful and consistent way. And so Bradley, you know, he was guarding Giannis Antetokounmpo and Chris Middleton, like bigger bodies out there. And that's going to be some incredible wear and tear. And for Goran, you need him a lot more than you'd like to at this point. You saw the benefit for him of having several months off. And between mid-March, when the season came to an abrupt end, and by the time they reconvened in August, that was a very different and energized version of Dragic that wound up propelling this team to new levels because of his incredible professionalism and scoring ability. You're not going to have that luxury this year. You don't have a three-month off. So you're going to have to find games here and there where Goran doesn't play. And right now he's playing a lot of minutes. And that means an injury is probably going to happen. He might break down completely. You don't want to think about that. Look, believe me, I am not wishing for that. I am not hoping for that in any way, shape, or form. But that's just the reality of the human body at his age after the kind of wear and tear that he's put himself through. He's in great, phenomenal shape. There's only so much you can do to avoid injuries, playing the kind of arduous minutes that he is. So, yes, I like Jack's point from Spo. He relies way too heavily on Goran, and I think part of that is because Tyler Hero hasn't necessarily played as well at the quote-unquote point guard position. Now, I asked Goran about it just today as I'm recording this because they had their post-practice media session, and I asked him, what's the difference between him and Tyler starting as the point guard? And I want to say, and I don't want to make too much of it, so I know it sounds a little subjective on my part, and I apologize if I'm being speculative also, but you know, Goran said, oh, you know, as far as the starting is concerned, that's just coach's decision. I'm trying to do the best I can for the team. You know, and he kind of just said that with Tyler, he's not handling the flow of the offense. That was the term that he wanted to use most often. He had answered a previous question about that as far as what's wrong with the offense. And the point everybody was making was, it's just not flowing well. It's not as organized as it could be. And clearly, when Goran's out there, the organization seems to take a significant step. The numbers bear it out. The eye test bears it out. And with Eric Spoelstra, when asked the same question about the offense and its problems, he said, for Tyler, he just needs to go there with intention. Now, he didn't name Tyler, but it was clear that that was kind of what he was leaning at, was that he believes that with the ball in that hand, you're not intent on initiating offense. You're not getting into your sets early enough. You're not pushing the pace. You're not working the ball around the way you should. You're kind of holding the ball, bringing it up, looking for your shot opportunity. And you know, that's partly what makes Tyler so effective, is that when he sees those seams in the defense, he can exploit them as well as anybody because he's such a bucket. That's just the reality of who he is. So I don't know if this is going to be a point of contention. I don't know if this is going to be an issue. That's why I had suggested Avery Bradley start. Again, maybe that's counterintuitive considering I just said he does need rest as well. But if you're going to be playing starter minutes for Tyler anyway, he could come off the bench and provide 35 minutes a game, 30 to 35 minutes. I mean, you can start Bradley and then just take him out right away. You can start Bradley and Iguodala both. And I think that helps both at the four, both at the point guard spot. And I think that would really help this team find a new version of themselves early on. I'll move on because this one comes in from Dan Healy, also of Miami Heat UK podcast, which you should definitely listen whenever you're able to. The New Year's resolution that Dan suggests is trading for James Harden. Oh, and stop turning the ball over. Now, the turnovers, that's one that I got a lot of. Obviously, it's been a concern. The Heat currently rank dead last in turnovers, 19.8 per game. So almost 20 turnovers per game. Not great. A couple other people mentioned the turnover situation, and I think it is a growing concern. And maybe it's just, I don't think it's necessarily because Tyler is the quote-unquote point guard. I just think it's not working so well. Jimmy hasn't been healthy. Bam hasn't, you know, looked completely sharp every game. And you know, they did run into the Milwaukee Bucks, the best regular season team over the last couple of seasons. And that's not necessarily an easy task. The fact that they were able to come away with one victory there certainly speaks to Miami's overall talent level. But as far as Harden is concerned, I've got to be honest with you. I'm getting to that point now where I think it's less and less likely. And there was there was some major speculation after Harden hurt his ankle in a previous game, then sat out for one game. Then all of Heat Twitter, and believe me, this is happening in Toronto and in Golden State and in anywhere that James Harden has been linked to, Portland. You know, they started thinking right away, well, that means he's sitting out a game. He's going to get traded. Well, that wasn't the case at all. He was just hurt. He's just hurt, and he's going to miss a game here and there, and that's fine. I don't think it's going to happen. Maybe one team gets desperate towards the end of the season or towards the off season. Maybe it'll be midway through the season at the trade deadline. I think both Houston wants to see what they have in this current roster. They haven't had a lot of opportunity to see what's there, whether or not the fit between Wall and Harden works, what they've got in Christian Wood, although right now it looks like it's a success so far. And then from the teams that want to acquire him, Philadelphia, Toronto, et cetera, you still, again, want to figure it out. What do you have on this roster? From Miami, I think they have a sense of what they've got, but also because of Jimmy's absence, maybe You're hoping for somebody like Hero, like Okpala, like Precious to step up and be able to fill those gaps up. And if that's the case, then maybe blowing it all up for a James Harden doesn't work necessarily. We'll see. It's an interesting situation. This one comes in from Brian Goins, who writes in. Of course, he is the co-founder of the Miami Heat Beat podcast, along with Giancarlo Navas. So make sure you follow him on Twitter. Honestly, my New Year's resolution for the team would be to make either Kelly Olynyk or KZ Okpala your starter at power forward until the deadline, then swing for PJ Tucker. And if they continue to play at 500 through the first 20 to 25 games, then go all in on a James Harden trade. He makes so much sense as far as Tucker is concerned. And now, that's more or less what I was kind of saying before with the James Harden situation, is that you're kind of trying to figure out through the first 20 to 30 games of the season what you have as a team. Houston's thinking the same thing. Miami's trying to see and gauge what this roster can be like, whether or not they have to make a more, splashy move in order to repeat their finals run. And if that's the case, then yes, Harden is the option. But there's other smaller options, guys like Tucker, as Brian suggested, as so many others did. Now, as far as Tucker, and this was an interesting wrinkle that Brian threw in there, was that he says he did the numbers and it'd be way easier for Miami to land both PJ Tucker and Kyle Lowry while keeping a good portion of the core. So I don't know what that is. I didn't want to press him because I'm sure that's probably information that he's saving for the Heat Beat podcast. So I didn't want to divulge or press too much on it. I could look into it myself. I don't know that Lowry necessarily wants to get traded. There's been some speculation there because there's tension. Fred VanVleet got paid. Pascal Siakam has struggled. He got benched for a game. They're not starting off the season as well as they'd like. Somewhat winless. Maybe Anunoby hasn't taken the leap that many expect him to be. And Kyle, towards the end of his deal, on the last year of his deal, maybe the most likely player to get traded. I mean, he's got a friendship with Jimmy Butler. Of that, there's no doubt. Maybe he'd be traded to the Los Angeles Clippers to play alongside Kawhi Leonard. Maybe he'd join somebody else. I don't know. There's a lot to it. As far as the Kyle Lowry combination, if you can get Kyle Lowry and PJ Tucker, and yes, maybe you can give up some of the players that aren't getting the kind of bulk of minutes. You don't have to give up too much. Maybe you can retain Tyler Hero. As long as you can keep Duncan Robinson, Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, and Tyler, and you can still add a Kyle Lowry and a PJ Tucker, maybe that's not feasible. We'll see. Again, I didn't really want to look into it because I think it's much more speculative. It's just a fun exercise. That would be a really great team. Great defense, great offense, great everything. I think that would be a lot of fun. It would be the most switchable, versatile, gritty. Yes, it's older, but we've already seen with this organization that it doesn't matter. This year doesn't matter because next year is going to be completely different, a different NBA, and then you make a different move then. And so you can still retool. You can still find ways to rebuild. You don't have to worry about next season. You're all in on this year. And that makes a lot of sense too, because I think we've seen so many changes around the league from players forcing their way out, et cetera, that for the Miami Heat to not make a move that makes sense this season because they're worried about 2 years down the road, I don't necessarily agree with that long-term planning because, well, you want to win this year. Can we start off the year with a little positivity, however? I'll try in the next segment because I'll get into some more New Year's resolutions here on Locked On Heat. If you're looking for positivity, look no further than Built Bar. 18 amazing flavors. They're the best tasting protein bar ever. All of them covered in 100% chocolate, soft and easy to chew. You won't even know you're eating a protein bar, but they are. They're healthy. They're great for health conscious people. If you're looking to lose or maintain weight and still want to occasionally indulge in a delicious treat, then Built Bars are the ones for you because they're low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, great for all sorts of diets. And again, they come in 18 great flavors. You're bound to find at least a few that you love. And best of all, if you go to BuiltBar.com right now and use a promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get 20% off your next order. You can build a box of all your different flavors, all your favorites. Use a promo code LOCKEDON if you go to BuiltBar.com right now and get 20% off. You can always reach me via email at lockedonheat@gmail.com or via Twitter using the hashtag AskLHeat. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and always leave a review. I've made a call recently for more reviews. Send those in. You always can reach me via DM. You can always leave comments and suggestions if you think the show sucks. If you think it's awesome, I want to hear from you. And you can always send those in via iTunes if you leave a review or via email or any other method that I've suggested. This next resolution comes in from Mr. Tropical Blanket himself, Alex Toledo of Five Reasons Sports. He writes in, "My New Year's resolution for the team is more KZ, Precious and Avery Bradley minutes, and less Myers, Moe, and Nunn, or just don't be a bottom 10 in the league in turnovers. But I realize that comes with their motion offense." So, consistent theme here. Everybody is frustrated with the turnovers. I talked about it before. I think it's just more of the offense finding a way to get everybody on the same page. It hasn't worked out so well, and a big part of that, I think, is Jimmy not at 100% and not for 3.5 of the 5 games that he has played so far. So I'm not too concerned about it. As far as the more minutes is concerned, look, KZ and Precious, we'll see. Precious clearly getting the advantage over KZ right now. Avery Bradley, as Jack Alfonso mentioned before, probably being relied on a little too heavily. You're going to need these guys to step up. Like, it's just one thing to say that we don't want to see Myers Leonard or Mo Harkless or Kendrick Nunn out there. But they're NBA players, damn it. They've got to find a way to contribute. And maybe that's just unfair or unrealistic to say, well, you're here, chip in, find a way to fit. And I think for Kendrick in particular, like, we've already seen what we can from Myers. The game has evolved to a point where if he's not mobile enough defensively, and unfortunately he is not, there's only so much you can do with him on the floor. With Harkless, he is the kind of player, at least physically, that you'd think would be able to take advantage of the changes in the league. He's a switchable 3-5 kind of guy. Big enough, long enough, rangy enough. He has to be able to be a little quicker afoot to recognize what's happening offensively and defensively and be able to make those adjustments as necessary. Knock down three-point shots with some regularity, because that's really what you've got out there. I understand that you're a veteran. You're not going to make many changes to your game at this point, but at least getting more consistent as a shooter, you've got to do something. You have to be able to knock it down. Maybe there's a lot of internal pressure because he's on a one-year deal, basically, and he has to prove himself, because if not, you're looking at retirement. But for Kendrick, you know, there's no guarantees here. You haven't made the kind of money that Myers and Moe have made. You want to get paid in this league? You don't want to be just a flash in the pan that got some rookie of the year consideration? Then you need to be able to show something more consistent, because right now, I can't, you know, judging from the lack of playing time he's getting, and it's not because of anything off the court. It's not because of his personality or lack of work ethic or anything like that. I just don't know that other teams are going to say, well, yeah, I sure want a 25-year-old gunner on this roster that can't defend and doesn't pass the ball. He doesn't fit a need. You don't want to be able to swing the ball around. You want to be able to create offense for others, especially at the guard position. And right now, Kendrick just doesn't show the capacity to do that. And if that's the case, you might not get that opportunity of that big contract, which is everything that any NBA player wants, and rightfully so. So for Kendrick, he's got a real golden opportunity here. He's got to try and do something, because this is his make-it-or-break-it year for him, realistically. This next resolution, and here, we start finally to make that trend towards positivity. Christian Hernandez, which you probably know best from his Twitter handle of "I Can Be Your Hero" of the Miami Heat Beat podcast, writes in, "I'll make a resolution to stop second-guessing Spo's decisions," and he adds, "I hope you call me out on it if I don't stick to it." So for everybody listening to the show, if Christian starts to challenge Spo and his decision-making process, let him have it. Now, this wasn't exactly a Heat resolution. It was more about Christian just not being a harsh critic of Eric Spoelstra's decision-making process, but I'll accept it. You know, I could have asked him for another one, but I think it's fair. You know, I think we were 5 games into it. There's already a lot of frustration amongst Heat fans, and I think a lot of it is unwarranted because, again, the best player, we established, I think, consensually that Jimmy Butler is one of the top 10, top 15, at the very least, top 20 players in the league. And you're still holding tight at 2-3 after just 5 games, which you faced a really good Dallas team, a really hungry Milwaukee Bucks team that had a lot to prove. Yes, you've been blown out twice. I get it. It stings. It sucks. But you didn't have a top 15 player for 3.5 of those games. Can we just pause here and realize that maybe things aren't as bad as we think they are? Like, the reality is that without Jimmy there, yeah, it's a concern. There are health issues that I brought up in the previous podcast. I understand that. But for now, if Jimmy returns to full health, if he is going to be a factor, then he makes his team instantly so much better. And if that's the case, then maybe all the worrying, all the hand-wringing, all that concern that we've shown over the last week and a half has been for nothing. And so I like Christian's point. And again, I don't think we should criticize Eric Spoelstra, who we've also agreed is probably one of the top three coaches in the NBA, certainly a top five coach. Sorry, Dan Dickow or whatever your name is. This next resolution comes in from my former co-host, Wes Goldberg, who writes in, embrace patience. Don't make the Harden trade and allow Hero to grow as a starting point guard. I get it. I think Wes makes a good point, too. Something that a lot of Heat fans are kind of overlooking is that, you know, Hero could be a really, really good player. I think we all kind of fell in love with his game last year, and it's easy to see why he could be a really solid all-star type level player. You tend to kind of look past that if you blow it up. Maybe you sacrifice Hero in order to win now and win a lot over the next few seasons. I get it. But, you know, Wes's point is a good one. You know, maybe this team could just be really, really good with Tyler Hero there. And if that's the case, maybe you don't want to include him in a trade for James Harden. Maybe you don't want to trade for a guy like Harden at all. Maybe that style of play that James has isn't something that you want with this Heat roster. I don't know, there's a lot of different factors there. I get it. But lastly, my own resolution. If you made it this far, I thank you so much for sticking with the show. And I just want to say, let's not be negative. I think in my own life, I can look outside of this past year and I'll recognize, as many of you have, that it's been really, really tough. I think not just from a personal perspective, but from a societal one, it's really, really been a very difficult year. And that's probably understating it wildly. And I apologize if that comes across as offensive or not showing the full magnitude of it. But it has been a hard year. And if there's a way of focusing or looking ahead to something positive, look, this team has been really, really good. They exceeded expectations. That run to the finals, probably the best run in franchise history, as magical as you're going to get on the basketball floor. So maybe we can all just appreciate what this team is, what they will be, what they were, and just look ahead with something, you know, again, closer to more positivity, because it's the start of a new year, because it's basically the start of a new season. And this team, I think, is going to be really, really good. And we should all, like Wes said, embrace patience, appreciate what we've got here. There'll be some growing pains here and there from everybody on this roster on occasion, but it should work out well. And we've been through some rough times, you know. The team wasn't all that great. They've been in the lottery a couple of times. They've been mediocre. They've been downright bad. But I think this is not going to be that team. This is going to be a much more fun, much more entertaining, much better team than one we've seen. I think they're actually even better this year than they were last year. They're going to work hard to get there. You know that. And if that's the case, I think they're going to figure out a way of turning it around rather quickly and being the kind of team that we expect them to be at the start of the season. Now, coming up next this week, I've got three games to cover. The Oklahoma City Thunder will be in Miami on Monday. The Boston Celtics will be here on Wednesday, and there's a game on Saturday as well. We'll have recaps for all of them, so make sure you stay here on this show. Subscribe, leave a review, as I mentioned before. Remember to get your team every day just by asking your smart device to play Locked On Heat as soon as you get in your car. I'm David Ramil, signing off and wishing you all a happy new year. Thank you, as always, for your support.